Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, Art Bell, one of the founders of Comedy Central, joins us, and we take a little walk down memory lane, some of those old shows from the very beginning, and also news coming up as well. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed. Madison Reed Mister, that is. So Madison Reed's been around for a while. They make the high-quality products, the hair coloring for women. Well, now they're doing it for men. Madison Reed Mister, gray blending, natural-looking color for your hair and for your beard as well. You can check out the before and after shots. They look great. No shoe polish look here. Maybe just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. Madison Reed Mister makes it easy for you to color match on their website. You get the color that matches your hair. You order the kit. Shows up lickety-split. Put the gloves on. Rub it through your hair. Put the color in there. Then put the activator. Wait 10 minutes. Rinse it off. And you have a great natural look with Madison Reed Mister. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, it's Mark from Winnipeg calling, and I just heard you say that you could move to any city that had a P.F. Chang's. Well, Winnipeg just got a P.F. Chang's, so if you move to Winnipeg, first meal is on me. Great listening to you. Bye, everybody.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, last time I was in Winnipeg, I played the Burton Cummings Theater over there or something, and it was in January, and it was brutally cold. And the only thing worse about being in Winnipeg when it's 7 degrees below is having everyone in Winnipeg explain to you it's warm when you're freezing your ass off. When did they go to the Groundlings? Art Bell is with us. Constant Comedy is the name of the book, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor. It's available now at Amazon and was released in September. Good to talk to you, Art.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Well, I was a part of Comedy Central for many years, and I guess I still am now because Crank Yankers is coming back.
That's great.
When did you start with Comedy Central? Was it not called Comedy Central when you started?
No, we started it as Comedy Channel.
Right.
And that was HBO's version.
Right.
6 months later, MTV Networks came out with their version called Ha.
Right.
You know, that was a competition. 6 months after that, we merged.
What year was that?
The merger took place at the end of 1991. We relaunched as Comedy Central.
And how many years were you there for?
I was there through 1996. And so I was there for the formative years.
What were the hot shows back then?
Well, the hot shows, Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect, which kind of lives on in all the, you know, various shows he's had, basically the same concept. We had Dr. Katz.
Oh, right.
The psychiatrist. Yeah, that was great. Mystery Science Theater 3000, which we started with it at Comedy Channel. That came in the mail just before we launched. And we thought it was a great show.
You mean you got like a VHS tape in the mail kind of thing?
That's exactly what happened. We got a VHS tape in the mail. And, you know, when I started the channel, I thought it'll be cool because we'll hear from people who have interesting comedy ideas. And then, like, you know, the next minute, MST 3000 shows up in the mail. Mm. It was great.
Was that the Hotchkiss brothers?
Joel Hodgson you're thinking of.
I'm thinking there's the Hotchkiss brothers who do my race suspension for my race cars, which is a completely different set. Yeah, I worked with Joel at Jimmy Kimmel Live maybe my first season, or maybe Jimmy's first season, as I recall.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
So what got you out of Comedy Central?
The new regime came in. I had been head of programming and marketing for, you know, the first little while. It wasn't such a little while, it was 7 or 8 years all in. But then they made a change. They brought in, they fired my boss, who was the president, and they brought in a new president. And
was that president, was that Doug Herzog?
That was Doug. And Doug, you know, Doug was from MTV, got rid of the last vestiges of the HBO crowd. And that's what happens.
Is it a story? I mean, I always wanted to write a book called What Happens When You Become the Man? Meaning everyone starts off as this little plucky thing, and we're going to do our own thing, and we're going to buck tradition. And then at some point, money starts rolling in. And the next thing you know, you just sort of become what you said you weren't going to become. Is that a true statement about Comedy Central?
Well, if I understand you correctly, I think Comedy Central, you know, in the early days when I was there, and I'm not saying that they were better or worse, you know, it was barnstorming. We didn't know what the heck we were doing. We didn't know what a comedy channel should look like. We didn't know who we should have on and what kind of programming. We were trying all kinds of things. And a lot of them were really cool, and a lot of them were very stupid.
Do you remember any specific, like, young Dennis Leary or young whomever?
John Stewart.
John Stewart, like someone.
John Stewart, I remember him. You know, he was great. He was on Comedy Channel on a show we called Short Attention Span Theater. Mm-hmm. Which, you remember that?
Oh, sure. Show. Stand-up Spotlight, Short Attention Span Theater, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great show. And John made it great. I mean, he was pretty much an unknown comedian at that point. We gave him that job, and as soon as I saw him on television, I said, man, this guy's going to be great. And it wasn't only that he was funny. I mean, he was funny. But he just, you could tell he had some kind of sensitivity and empathy and understanding of the world. And just the way he talks, the way he talked to people, you know, you could see a lot of what ended up on The Daily Show.
You sent out, what was it, an Instagram or what was it? What was the photo?
He has an Instagram. We'll put it up.
You sent this out, and and it says, it's a picture of a ceramic kind of, I guess it's a Comedy Central. Is it a vase or a cookie jar or something like that?
Cookie jar. It is a cookie jar.
And the caption says,
during these stressful times, we all need cookies, but I'm the only one with a Comedy Central cookie jar.
Yes, you are. yes, you are. You're the only one.
I didn't know that to be true when I started. I was just kind of hoping, you know, here's the thing. When you're saying stuff like that on social media,
I just produced the exact same. Sorry, I just produced the exact same cookie jar, which must have been sitting around here for a long time.
Yeah. Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
How's it feel to punch it, buddy?
Well, that's all Chris. He did his research and he did the math on the cookie jar. But I do remember getting that cookie jar from Comedy Central, and they also they got me a cordless drill too, which I still.
The Comedy Central cordless? Did it have the logo on it and everything? That's cool.
No, it was just a Makita or something. But either way, I appreciate it because I used it.
I did not get the Comedy Central cookie jar from Comedy Central.
Oh, really?
Somebody called me about maybe 5 years ago and said, hey, you know, they're throwing out a lot of stuff around here. I got a Comedy Central cookie jar. Would you like it? So I said, yeah, sure. Send it to me, you know. So the guy puts it in a box. He doesn't wrap it up. And that cookie jar came in like 5,000 pieces.
Right.
Which I painstakingly glued back together, with a lot of love, glued back together.
It's restored.
So, yeah, I know. I wanted to kill the guy. It's like, how stupid can you get?
Did you really? Did you super glue the thing back together?
It was not super glue. It was cookie jar glue of some sort. I don't know. You know, some... Porcelain,
yeah. We know you know comedy because you don't know adhesives. And that's how you know we know you know comedy. Cookie jar glue. I smell a Brady episode coming up. Oh, Art, my favorite vase. Let me fill
Where's
it with
the cookie
water.
Jar glue.
So I got one in mint condition here that for the right price I can.
Oh, really? You're just gloating, huh?
I am now. I'm taking a victory lap. So you went on, so from, in a way, Comedy Central and that, it feels to me sort of like morning radio, and that K-Rock was the biggest radio station out you know, one of the biggest radio stations in the United States, maybe the biggest or most prestigious. And like in the early 90s, they didn't have a morning show. They had like Raimondo and Evans and guys like just kind of sat there and talked. Like there was no format, but here we are in kind of the modern day. Like we're in the 90s. You know, there's been comedy for quite some time, but there was no station. There was no format. Like,
you mean a full comedy network?
Yeah, it's just, right? It's curious to me that this stuff is really new historically, if you think about it.
Yeah, I guess that's right. You know, one of the reasons, one of the interesting things about starting the network, I was at HBO at the time, and I was trying to convince people to start a comedy channel. Mm-hmm. And I was so surprised there wasn't one.
That's, you know, what I'm saying.
I was like, how could there not be a comedy network in the world? I mean, there's a music network, there's a sports network, there's a news network, there's an everything network. What happened to comedy? And people just kept saying, nah, you can't do that. It's not, it would never work. Nobody would want to be on it.
You know? It's so funny that, you know, you're not talking to guys that are pipe fitters. You're talking to creative executives who are mm-hmm. constantly explaining to you things will never work only based on them not existing currently. Mm-hmm. That's all they're doing. They just go, it's never going to work. And then you go, why not? And they go, because it's not here now, which is a weird approach to the creative process. But there's a lot of that.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of people protecting. I mean, the fact is, when I was at HBO at that point, HBO is like the hottest place to be, man. It was like Netflix. It was going to change television, and it did. And they had great comedy on. So I think when I started talking about comedy, everybody at HBO said, you know, we're doing comedy. What do we have to do a comedy network for? We're successful. We don't want to risk our reputation on something like that. They gave me reasons why it would never work. They gave me reasons.
I wonder what the state of Comedy Central is today. I don't know what their rankings are. I don't know what their gross income is. I don't know. They're paying us to bring back Crank Yankers, which I'm grateful for. But I don't know when were they at the height of their powers? In like the early 2000s or something like that? Like a mid, you know, Man Show, well, Dave Chappelle, all that
show,
stuff. Daily Show.
The Daily Show, Park, and, you know, South Park showed up sort of around the time I was leaving in 96.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, late 90s was a phenomenon because I remember South Park was must-watch TV. I was in college at the time. But you had to watch South Park. Daily right. Show was finding its feet under Jon Stewart. You know, that was Man Show, obviously. There was a lot happening. It was a thing.
Right, right. I think that was the start of it. I think probably in the early 2000s is when, you know, when things really hit its stride. But, you know, what I'm amazed at is that it's still around. I mean, it's still around. It's still thriving. I don't, you know, I can't quote you the numbers. I haven't looked, but the fact is they still get a huge audience. They still get top, you know, top comedians if they want them. The issue is what, you know, they've got new management there and everybody's kind of scratching their head saying, okay, what's the new guy going to do now?
They're Tosh.0 Drunk History canceled this year, shifting more to animation and reboots of Beavis and Butthead, Ren and Stimpy, and Daria. From MTV, right?
Yeah, there's a spin. That was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, was it?
She
that's right. That's right.
Oh, it's going to be a Daria spinoff, actually, called Jody.
Oh, great.
Got no more room in my head. Yeah. So, sorry, Art. Yes.
Things are changing. You're right. I mean, things as, you know, whenever a new management comes in, first thing they want to do is change things because they got to, you know, make an impact. And then they figure out what's working and what's not working, then change them back. So we'll see what happens. I mean, one thing we know is that Comedy Central is a great brand. I mean, it means comedy to a lot of people.
Well, they're certainly going back. I mean, they're starting to realize that there's some currency and some recognition. That's why we're doing Crank Yankers there after, right. I don't know, what years did Crank Yankers run? But, I mean, we took a full decade off of Crank Yankers, maybe 13 years or something like that. And then they brought it back because they realized you know, other brands do this. Car manufacturers, you know, Ford comes out with the new GT40 because they realize they have some equity there. There's some name recognition. Like, why do we have to keep inventing the new Ford Impulse or something like that? Why don't we do a GT40 that won Le Mans three times, you know? So Crank Yankers was 02 to 07, and then we took off 12 years, I guess, and then we came back last year.
Well, that was another sort of renaissance, because remember all the Comedy Central roasts? It's called the Comedy Central Roast. That's right. Just what we know
it as.
Used
to be the Friars Club roast.
Right. Right. I think for 2003 that started.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Actually, I don't mean to say no, but right after the 9/11, there was a Hugh Hefner roast.
I was in it.
Yeah, was that the first? Because the one I have here, the original date is the Dennis Leary, 2003. Was that not one of the officials, maybe?
They may not have televised that one, but Jeff Ross was the host.
Mm.
And I was there, and Adam, you were in it? You were on the dais?
Yeah, I roasted Hugh right after the 9/11. I have very strong thoughts about that. The first was I have the three things I remember. Thank God everyone is insane because it makes memories. You know what I mean? Otherwise, if everyone was insane, then you wouldn't have memories, you know? First was me and Jimmy were driving to the airport to fly out to New York, you know, 2 days before the roast, which was, you know, 8 days after 9/11. And our agent from New York, James Baby Doll Dixon, called and he's like, Where you at? I'm going, we're heading to the airport. And he goes, heading to the airport? For what? And we go, we're flying to New York. You're flying to New York? I go, yeah, I wouldn't get on a goddamn airplane right now if you gave me all the... And I said, Baby Doll, we're heading to the airport. We're leaving in an hour and a half. Oh, my God, you couldn't get me on an airplane. I was like, I get it, but we're getting on an airplane. And we're already a little bit freaked out, but thank you for pushing us over the top. And then Jimmy made the proclamation, don't worry about it, because we're going to be sitting in first class and Jimmy's going to be on the aisle and his head's going to be on a swivel the whole time. And if he sees anybody darker than Tom Petty moving toward that cockpit, he's throwing a shoulder block at him. Jimmy was passed out while we were taxiing. So he was snoring as we were taxiing.
Storing up energy. I had to look this up, but yeah, now reading the list, I remember this. Yeah. So for 5 years annually, Comedy Central aired the Friars Club roast, and it was Drew Carey, Jerry Stiller. Rob Reiner, Hugh Hefner, and Chevy Chase. And then they started doing the Comedy Central. They rebranded it with the 2003 Dennis Leary.
So,
because I remember Chevy Chase, and I remember Rob Reiner.
Every joke Chevy was on Chase North. That was brutal.
Yeah.
They're all kind of brutal, but the Hugh Hefner one was interesting because that's where Gilbert Gottfried got up. Do you remember that?
The Aristocrats?
Yeah.
The Aristocrats. He told that joke, but he told it, and I don't know if this was broadcast. He told it because he started telling a joke about 9/11. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, it was like 8 days previously.
It was a tepid reaction.
The whole crowd was going, no! They just stood up and said, please don't do this. And I'm sure the guy's agent was, Gilbert's agent or manager was in the audience probably saying, oh, this is the end of that. But he switched gears almost seamlessly, told the Aristocrats joke, and I'm sure that's where Penn Jillette got started on the whole thing, because that was such a great
rendition. The movie, yeah. It makes you wonder, in today's climate, with everybody filming on their phone, I mean, Gilbert got in trouble later on with the Affleck duck and the tsunami, Japanese tsunami and all that kind of stuff. But would he be canceled in today's cancel culture? Would he be canceled for the 9/11 joke so soon? Or is 9/11 not really on anyone's menu for canceling? You have to maybe go after a group or an ethnicity or a race, you know? But you just wonder, because that everyone in the room was like, holy shit, he's telling a 9/11 joke. And literally, there's still the rubble pile is still smoldering, you know, 11 blocks from where we are. Like, and he's telling, you know, they have cadaver sniffing dogs out and he's telling 9/11 jokes. Jesus, weird time. But I guess I'm glad I was there. And again, it was like you just load up with 3x5 cards back then, and there was no time limit. And you'd be sitting there and somebody would tell a Hefner joke that you had, basically, and you'd just throw the card out because they got to it before you did. It was a far cry from where it is today, where they load it up in the prompter and they kind of vet it.
Now it's like a TED Talk. Get it approved. It'll be loaded up. Practice your speech.
Well, imagine the pressure. So you got a Hugh Hefner roast, right? So you got a bunch of whole whacking off when I was a kid or Hugh Hefner or whatever you got. They're all the same comedic minds. They're going to come up with basically the same jokes and basically the same idea. Well, imagine there's 13 roasters and you're going 11. You have to sit there the entire time. First off, you have to piss like a racehorse. But secondly, you have to sit there and start pulling out your similar jokes from your pile of jokes. That's torturous. Now, they'll put everything on the prompter. They won't tell you what she's saying and what he's saying. They'll just go, Jeff Ross has a similar joke, so you may want to swap it out. And it's good, because then you don't have to worry about the overlap. So, Art, you were in the audience for that, sorry?
I was in the audience for that, yeah. And I remember several jokes that Jeff Ross told that I'm not going to repeat. But I remember thinking, and I knew him when I was there at Comedy Central, you know, years earlier. I thought he was just on that day. He was just really...
Well, he's Ross is sort of like he's like an amphibian who doesn't do well on the land. But when he hits the open water, you go, oh, yeah, now I get it. He looks so clumsy and so bad on land. But when he hits that roast, he goes from the caterpillar into the butterfly.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah.
I want to give a plug for Art's book, Constant Comedy, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor. It's available now on Amazon as we speak. Art, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, great. Great to be here.
Thanks
for having me.
And if you need an intact cookie jar, you know where to go.
If the price is right.
If the price is right.
I appreciate that.
All right. Let me hit, what do I got? LifeLock here, Maxipata. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Then we'll do some news after that. LifeLock. Cyber criminals hide malware in emails that look like real invoices, invites, or payment info with a document attached. So when you click, it installs malware on your computer. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. This holiday season, you can miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit alone and bank statements. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used, their network will send you an alert. Protect yourself. You're doing all your shopping online. All your info's out there. Now protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam.
All right, take a quick break. Come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, everyone's... Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Dawson pointed at me, which made me talk. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just listening for a sound cue. Every once in a while, there is a story that comes out and 42,000 people send it to me at one time. Today is one of those days. Mm. And between friends, family, listeners, I just want you to know, like, I'm safe. I got it. Don't worry. But I'm so glad we're all on the same page and reveling in the happiness. Monday, Moderna announced that its COVID-19 vaccine is more than 94% effective, which we knew, preventing COVID-19. And that's all great news. But here's something that none of us knew until the past 24 to 48 hours. An unexpected celebrity who helped make this happen. And that person is Dolly Parton. So back in April, I've gotten this story from every walk of life. So back in April, Parton donated $1 million to Vanderbilt University Medical Center in the effort to combat COVID-19, which included Moderna's vaccine trial and their clinical research. And you'd think, well, that, you know, that seems like a very Dolly thing to do. And of course she did. And that's so interesting. But being the fan that I am, I realized another connection. She did this in the name of a friend of hers, who I believe is Dr. Naji Aboumrad. And I thought, why does that name sound familiar to me? Well, I don't know if you know the radio host and podcast host, Jad Aboumrad. He does a podcast called Radiolab.
I'm sorry, but I miss Marcus Welby. Like, everyone is like,
Mike Rowe.
Well, just call him Dr. Fizz, because no one can pronounce his last name.
We should do a game called Esteemed Doctor or Uber Driver.
Yeah.
So the reason why there's a connection there is he's the one who hosted and produced the Dolly Parton podcast series, which it's called Dolly Parton's America. It's fascinating. It's phenomenal. I recommend it. And in maybe the first podcast, I would think it was, he said, why am I interested in Dolly and how do I have these connections, like, you know, to get into her life like this and her family? Well, he said, well, my father and Dolly became very good friends. You know, when they lived, you know, near each other in Tennessee. Well, I would imagine that Dr. Naji Aboumrad is the friend that Jad was talking about. That's his father. So it's very nice. She did it in his name and sent them $1 million check. And so if the Moderna vaccine works, let's all tip our cap to Dolly for help getting that across the finish line.
It's something Gina might be the wrong person to ask because she's so ensconced in Dollywood. But there's been a Dolly Parton renaissance. Dolly Parton was sort of a punchline when I was younger. And now every time her name comes up, says, oh, I love her. She's the best. She's the dearest. She's the greatest songwriter. She's the greatest. Like, just in like the last 4.5 years, it's been just she's the best. I did not hear a lot of she's the best in, you know, 1997.
You don't think I am incredibly aware of the Dolly Parton bandwagon?
You're spearheading it.
Well,
I've loved for a long time.
No, but I was only saying that maybe you're too close.
No, I get it. I get it. But I am very aware that she is having a renaissance, and I love that. I mean, she's still putting out albums, and they're great.
She has a Christmas album, like either out or coming out. Adam, I agree with you. When I was growing up, Gina, well before your time, Dolly Parton, the appreciation felt kitschy, like she was appreciated by a sort of kitschy, you know, ironic group. Yes. And now the people are acknowledging she could really sing. She's a great songwriter. She's a philanthropist. Like she's kind of weirdly authentic. Like you don't think of Donald because you know the cosmetic surgery and stuff, but like she's who she is.
She even said,
Yes, it was a kitschy kind of, it was like you appreciated her like you appreciated John Waters, you know, but you didn't really think of him as a real director, but he was kitschy, you know, and that's what she was. And now it's totally legitimate.
Yeah. She even said, I'll look as young as my doctors will let me look. I mean, she owns that shit.
Get that drop, please.
She's a brunette. You wouldn't know that because she has 14,000 wigs and she wears them all.
Are wigs?
Okay. Mm. And she just, you know, she has the Imagination Library. This is stuff she's had forever, but now she's getting a lot of credit for this stuff,
I'm going to put her at the top of my list of worst people to be pushed into a pool.
Why worst? Oh, just she'd like melt.
Yeah, it wouldn't go well for her.
How would she come out of that pool?
Yeah. That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
I thought she'd be buoyant, but
I'm talking about the wigs.
She survived, Gina.
You push Kendall Jenner into a pool. She comes out better.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Dolly would probably agree. I fully plan on my wedding, which has not been planned, to be to walk down the aisle to Dolly Parton's Pure and Simple. So I get it. And I hope you're all ready for that. Another celebrity in the news, Conan O'Brien, will end his daily TBS late night show in June of next year. And he's not going away. He's going to HBO Max. Hmm. So Warner Media announced Tuesday that the comedian will end his 10-year run at TBS in June. But in addition to a deal, we'll see him host a new weekly variety series for the company's streaming platform. And he's going to continue doing his popular Conan Without Borders specials on TBS. But there seems to be a slow and steady migration over to HBO Max.
10 years he's been doing. So 10 years since he was sort of ousted from The Tonight Show.
Right. Yeah.
Have you guys seen a moment of his show in 10 years?
No.
I have not.
TBS.
No.
Couldn't even tell you.
No, I agree. It's one of those things where he, I think, like, it's a multi-million dollar contract for very few eyeballs, which is what you want. What you want, everybody.
He must have hardcore fans, right?
He definitely has hardcore fans, yes.
So remember the other day we talked about like backyard brawls and the fight club that was just broken up in Brooklyn? Well, this gift was just fell in my lap when I looked at this morning. We have a new bare knuckle fight champion, and his name is Ulysses the Monster Diaz. Do you know, does that name mean anything to you? I don't know if you're in that world or not.
No.
I doubt it. Okay.
Love that guy.
He knocked out Donale Benedetto. And he did it in well under 3 seconds, that like 2.2 seconds. So usually we don't show, you know, like crazy knockouts because they make all of our teeth hurt. But this is comically fast. This is the bare knuckle championship, 2.2 seconds. Ulysses the Monster Diaz knocking him out. Here we go.
Hands. Knuckle up. Round number one. There's that fast.
Oh,
goal.
Jesus.
That might be it. And that is the
fast.
Yeah, it's a round 20-foot ring. It's round. It's kind of interesting. And where did that take place? Like in Mexico? Like
that's a good question.
I saw the word Kentucky. I don't know if that was like a bourbon or something, but like I thought I saw the word on the ring.
Can that stuff be sanctioned? I mean, it was only 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, New York State did not allow the UFC. Remember that?
MMA, yeah.
I mean, all this stuff is barely legal. Like MMA is barely, you know, brand new legal to, you know, New York or New York City.
You men and your barely legal.
And not
content.
The good kind of barely legal.
Right.
Either.
Right.
I'm looking at Forbes right now to see where it was.
Can you put the picture up again, Chris? Maybe I'm completely making it up. I thought it.
It says
knuckle up, not Kentucky. I'm stupid. Sorry.
All right. Sorry. Yeah, we'll figure out where it is. It's got to be, you know, it's not in California. It's not in New York. It's got to be somewhere.
It's on a barge.
Fight Island?
It's on a barge.
Somewhere.
Like David's Fight Island.
Somewhere where the restaurants are open and people don't wear masks. That's where
I'm guessing.
That's what
or
I'm
gloves.
Guessing. Yeah, or it's in all like right. international waters or something.
It went down in Miami, Florida.
Yeah, that sounds about right. All right. Yeah, this is my mistake. If you can't figure out something, it's in Germany or Florida. So we should have known. All right.
So France is begging its people who are parents to please stop tossing your children over fences to the point where they've had to say something in their newspapers. I think we have the picture. This is a real sign in France. They would very much like you to stop doing that. So,
what is this? Some kind of kiddie Highland Games or something? How does this work?
Stop throwing students over the gate. And the reason is simple. When the school day begins, the gate is closed. So parents who've been arriving late.
They're locking them out for being
throwing
late.
Throwing them over the gate so they can get to class. The sign shows a cartoon of a parent hurling a small child over the fence. And the text says, please stop doing that. And the gates close from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And school officials say there have been a few cases of kids being tossed over. Nobody's been hurt, but they would very much like people to stop doing that.
I pulled a power move today. I drove Natalia to school in my bathrobe.
Wow.
Yeah.
I picked Tess up from school last night, my slippers.
Not even close.
That's cute.
No, I aspire to what you're doing. Yeah.
So now we know that Natalia's her urge to be dropped off is more powerful than her urge to not be embarrassed.
I thought she was going to protest, but maybe she's given up the ghost. I don't know. The bathrobe is so hard to get out of. And and you know what
Tony
it is?
Soprano shit.
So I have a thing. I have this efficiency thing, right? So I didn't get in the swimming pool before 8 a.m. So I was going to drop the kids off and then get into the swimming pool and do my cold plunge. And, you know, out of modesty, when the kids are around inside the house, I'll pull on my Tommy John's before I jump in the pool. But if no one's around, I'm going all natural. So I was like, I would have to take this bathrobe off, put on a T-shirt, lift up some trunks or some gym shorts, drive Natalia in, and then go back and take them off. But if I drive her in my robe...
Cut out the middleman.
Cut out the middleman. Then I'll walk right out of the car, walk out to the pool, drop the robe, and go right in the pool.
Wait, I'm sorry to be pearl clutchy here, but you were naked under the robe?
I believe I was.
Wow.
And I got to
That's a power move.
I got to tell you, that pool was frosty this morning. And when I stepped out naked, I was like, I wish I had my Tommy John's on, because I looked down and it was a sad state of affairs, man.
Internal.
It was not good. It was cold.
Concave.
Yeah, I must have been. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it, but yeah, I think you're right.
Shrinkage.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Definitely some shrinkage. Get that book. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is.
Ooh. Now, there is no, I did not drop her off. I don't drop her off at the drop-off center. I drop her off sort of around the back way, so there's nobody around.
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay. Dumpsters.
I don't walk,
her in.
Yeah, I don't walk her in. But
walk her to the front office.
Yeah, I'm worried about the slippery slope aspect of the bathrobe now, because I've told you all the time, you know, this is how you fuck up your slippers. For Christmas, someone gets you some really nice suede slippers with like a fleece inner lining or whatever. And you're like, oh, man, these are beautiful. And then you make the proclamation like somebody does. Yeah, I'm looking at your slipper right now. It's perfect.
It's on my foot.
You do this. You make this proclamation like a young rock star does when he buys a Ferrari. Like, nobody smokes. Nobody eats fast food. And then 3 weeks later, there's McDonald's, you know, rolling around on the passenger floor, you know. So you get the nice slippers and you say, I'm going to keep these nice. I'm going to keep these nice. And you put them on. And at some point, you start making that little deals with yourself. Like, oh, I'm just going to the mailbox. I'm just going down the driveway. It's not raining.
Yeah.
Just going out. I'm going to grab something from my car. It's in the driveway. What am I going to do? Put on wingtips? Come on now. So you start doing that. Then once you get outdoors, you get kind of comfortable now. And then there's also a lot of sole conversations. Well, these things have a rubber sole. Mm-hmm. So what's the big whoop? They're like shoes. And the next thing you know, you're at the Trader Joe's, and the next thing you know, and then they get all fucked up because now you're wearing them out like shoes. So I may be going down that road with my robe.
I'm living that life right now. Christy got me these slippers because all I can wear during the day, because my feet hurt so much from medication, is slippers. She got them for me 3 weeks ago, and I'm right in that mode where I'm like, yeah, I'm just going out to the front gate, closing the front gate.
Right.
Yep. At the risk of being Homer Simpson, you need a road robe.
I know.
Oh, it's that. I didn't even see that episode.
Just you know, the way he would roll. Like, you need your indoor robe and your outdoor robe.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's do one more, Gina Graham.
Oh, good. Thank God, because we have been so hot on Auction Talk, and we've had some doozies, but this one's the best one. It's not going to be beat. This will probably put a little bow on auction season for now, because you're not going to beat this. Belgian racing pigeon. That is a hot sport in China, gambling sport booming in China. And Belgian bred birds are really, really a thing to behold.
How do you think it worked in China? Like, do you think there was some meeting where some proclamation was made, which is, look, we love gambling. We're obsessed with gambling, but we're only going to gamble on weird ass shit and weird forms of poker and weird card games and weird chance games. 21, fat. Texas Hold'em, no thank you. Yeah. NFL, NBA, gone. Pass. We have to do really fucked up. We love gambling.
I go till I die.
But it's all fucked up weird gambling. We're not going to bet on horses. We're going to bet on pigeons.
That's right. So, do you want to guess what the, do you know this story?
Mm-mm.
Do you want to guess what the, okay. So there is a bird named New Kim fetched a world record breaking price for pigeons at a pigeon auction. Two Chinese bidders operating under the pseudonyms Hitman and Super Duper battled for the
doesn't
bird.
Sound Asian
rejected
at all.
Avengers.
As the two-week auction wound down early Sunday, Super Duper came out on top. Now, they think that this might Super Duper might be this Chinese industrialist who set the previous record last year for the most expensive racing pigeon. That pigeon's name was Armando. Any guess on this year's new world record price for New Kim, the racing pigeon?
Well, they must breed them, right? Because
yeah,
otherwise,
buy them and breed them.
Yeah, buy them and breed them. Yeah, but otherwise, what's the shelf life of a pigeon?
You, sir, are a smart man because New Kim is a female pigeon. And Armando is a male pigeon, and they think the same person bought both birds.
Printing money, though.
$1.2 million.
Okay.
I was going to double it just because Gina was so crazy about it. I was going to say 2.3.
Brian, are you insane? No, actually, it's pretty much down the middle. Well, at least this time, $1.9 million for a street rat pigeon.
Hold on, I'll play the role of my mom. For a bird?
Yeah.
Does anyone need a bird that badly?
Well, when you're racing, you can make a lot of money gambling.
There are kids who go to bed every night with an empty stomach.
Yeah.
And you're buying a
they
bird?
They can't have this bird.
The wealth and quality.
My mom's math was always somehow if you bought a crown jewel, like if you bought a crown with jewels in it, if you weren't using that money for a jeweled crown, you would be buying textbooks for inner city kids. Like, come on, would you take choices. That money and allocate it toward clean drinking water for the kids of Detroit? It's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Good news,
that's
mom.
That's not the choice.
I know.
So last year's bird Armando went for $1.4 million. New Kim went for $1.9 million.
Well, they must breed them because what is the life of a racing pigeon? And by the way, you know, if you are a racing pigeon, you know, you're one windmill or Cessna or seeing your reflection in a skyrise window away from zero value. You know,
or a clever hawk.
Right, a clever hawk.
They seem to live for about 6 years in the wild.
Well, get going while the getting's good.
All right, let's.
I'm also seeing that racing pigeons, if well looked after, can live for up to 20 years.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and remember,
that
I found
sense.
A racing pigeon in this very parking lot years ago.
Oh, that's right.
And I fed it, and I called the guy, and he said, just give him water. He's tired. And then I had to put him in a box because this guy was so excited that I found this pigeon that he's been missing for months
right.
that went and raced and finally came home. And I put him in a box, and I left him outside of the gate, and the guy just picked him up over the weekend.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say you left it in your car, and it was July. You got drunk.
No reward money.
Any
yeah, no reward money?
Money?
No.
Really?
Well, I didn't ask for it. I was just worried about the I thought he was injured.
You don't ask for reward money. You receive reward money.
Yeah, I got no reward money for this.
Jesus.
Decision. He
and
was
now
very
we know,
excited to have him back.
Even if that bird was worth half as much as Armando.
Yeah.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
I love the you know, I now realize, you know the worst person in the world is? The ones that talk you out of doing good stuff where they go, reward money? No? Shame on you. You see what happens?
Yeah.
You see what happens when you help birds? You get nothing.
Next bird I find, I'm not doing anything.
You stomp on the next lame pigeon you run into.
Yeah, Brian's voice in my head. Reward money?
See?
All right. Last but not least, Geico. You want to? Do you rent? Do you own? Well, you probably do one or the other. How about you bundle those policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and your renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do. So let's make life a little easier around the holidays. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you bundle with Geico. Visit Geico.com today. That is Geico.com today. Stephen Dorff on the show tomorrow, everybody. Yeah. Looking forward to that. West Palm Beach coming up this weekend. Few tickets left, 20th and 21st. We're doing live pod early and then stand up late. And then also going to do the Reasonable Doubt matinee show on Saturday. So come on out and watch Mark Garagus get loaded on Don Julio. Art Bell, I want to thank for coming in, and Vinny Tortorich as well. Also, Burbank, Pickwick Bowl, doing a parking lot show and a car show there on the 12th of December. So, until next time, it's Adam for Vinny and Art and Gene and Bald saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can also give him a thumbs up on Facebook at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And if you haven't gotten it yet, grab Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. All the links and everything else are at AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.